The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. And on today's program, I'll be talking first with Trevor Orthman, who is executive director, of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. And they're giving baseball-themed programs this coming Labor Day weekend on Sunday in Springfield and Monday in Normal in some interesting locations. We'll be hearing all about that very shortly. And then I'll be talking with some of the performers at the Allerton Music Barn Festival out in Monticello. It opens on Thursday, runs through Labor Day with a different program each night, actually two of them on Sunday. And we'll be hearing mostly a preview about the opening concert, and then later in the week we'll be hearing specifics about some of the other concerts that are on that festival. It's live and local on FM 90.9. We hear just a bit of the hoedown from Aaron Copland's, it was Buckaroo Holiday from Aaron Copland's Rodeo, the ballet, and a performance with the composer himself conducting the London Symphony Orchestra here on Live and Local. My first guest on today's edition of Live and Local is Trevor Orthman, who is executive director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, based in Springfield, but it also is sort of the official professional orchestra in Bloomington Normal as well, and performs virtually every concert in both locations. And in fact, that is true for this coming concerts, this coming weekend's concerts that are happening in Springfield on the grounds of the old state capitol on Sunday, and then at the Corn Crib Stadium in Normal on Monday evening on this Labor Day weekend, a baseball-themed concert, and it is free. Trevor Orthman is with me on the phone from Springfield. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin.
So whose idea was the baseball theme?
The baseball theme was actually my idea after talking a long time with the Normal Corn Belters administrative staff. Actually, the conversations began as they were opening their ballpark over a year ago, and them wanting us to come and perform at the stadium. Their general manager had been at another organization, ball team, where they had a big fundraising event, and an orchestra would come and play in the stadium, and they would have a big fundraiser for that community, and it was an event that, you know, thousands of people came to every year. And so he wanted to see this, you know, some kind of concert happen in his new ballpark. So that's how the concert and the baseball theme evolved.
To your knowledge, has the orchestra ever played in a stadium before?
To my knowledge, they have not played in a stadium. They've played in convention centers, but not a stadium.
So what modifications need to happen to the ball field to accommodate an orchestra? Anything? Aside from putting chairs out there?
Putting chairs out there, and we will put a hard surface out. The orchestra will be somewhere between the pitcher's mound and second base. The conductor won't stand right on the pitcher's mound, but probably about 30 or 40 feet behind it. So he's almost becomes a second baseman.
Wow. Well, I almost would have thought the pitcher's mound would make a great podium.
Yeah, it would. But we want those that are in the bleachers and sitting in the thing to be able to see pretty much the entire orchestra. So they're going to be just a little bit further out in the field.
Where do you get a hard surface that big for this sort of thing?
Probably from a home improvement store. Most likely heavy plywood will be put down on the field, and then the chairs and stands and instruments will all be set on that.
So this is just something the stadium needs to worry about and you don't have to.
That's right.
Thankfully, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
So how do you manage to make these concerts free?
We have great sponsorship in both communities. In Springfield, we have St. John's Children's Hospital supporting this concert, and in Bloomington, we have Advocate Broman Medical Center supporting the concert. So through their sponsorships of the concert, we were able to offer these concerts free to the community.
You want to talk a little bit about the specifics of the program, a baseball theme? I mean, I'm sure people can guess some of the tunes that will be performed, but I'm not sure I could guess a full program's worth.
Sure. It won't be a full program's worth, but there will be nice complimentary pieces with the baseball-themed music that will go along with the concert. We will do John Philip Sousa's The National Game March, which is, represents baseball at its best as it is the national game. And then probably the big piece on the program and for the baseball theme would be Casey at Bat by Frank Proto, which is a narrated work about 14 minutes long and will feature guest narrator Don Schneider, and is a good piece that takes us through the whole story of Casey at the Bat. So great for families, great for the kids to bring their blankets, bring their lawn chairs, and come out to the concert. Some of the other highlights of the evening will be Copeland's Hoedown from Rodeo and also Saturday Night Waltz. And then to preview a little bit of our upcoming season, Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, fourth movement of that.
No baseball connection there that you're even going to try to manufacture.
No, I will not even try to manufacture a tie to Scheherazade.
I'm talking with Trevor Orthman, who is executive director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, about their baseball programs this coming weekend. And since he mentioned Sousa's National Game March, here it is in a performance by the Eastman Wind Ensemble, led by Frederick Fennell. Well, since you have mentioned previewing the season, one of the big highlights of this 2011-2012 season for the Illinois Symphony is your music director search. Karen Lynn Deal's last season was, of course, last year, and so now you have to find someone new, and I guess you've got a different candidate for every concert, excepting this weekend's concert. You have a guest conductor who's not a candidate.
Right. This weekend, the conductor will be Yaniv Segal, who is music director of the Michigan Pops Orchestra, as well as the Chelsea Symphony in New York, has extensive background in conducting Pops programs as well as serious classical programs, and will be bringing his talents to the orchestra this weekend.
And how were the other candidates chosen? How did you narrow down what must have been a pretty huge field to, five conductors?
It was a huge field that we went through, and, a very extensive search process, inviting 31 candidates to apply, and from that going through review of candidates with videotapes and having principal players review them with the music director search committee, and then conducting phone interviews with a smaller number of candidates, and then narrowing that field down to our five candidates for the season who will be here to conduct two programs in the season. So they will all conduct a symphony orchestra concert, and then will conduct a chamber orchestra concert or else in our youth education concerts.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about who the five candidates are?
Sure. We will open the season with Donato Cabrera, who is resident conductor of the San Francisco Symphony and music director of the San Francisco Symphony Youth Orchestra, and who was just recently named music director of the Green Bay Symphony in Wisconsin. The next candidate who will appear would be Kenneth Raskin, who is associate conductor of the Sacramento Philharmonic and was assistant conductor of the North Carolina Symphony. Then Alistair Willis, who was a assistant conductor at the Seattle Symphony, but now is GIST conducting throughout the United States and in Europe, and conducts many of the major orchestras, including New York Philharmonic, Philadelphia Orchestra, Chicago Symphony. He will be here in November, and we'll follow that up with a visit for our chamber orchestra for our holiday chamber orchestra concert in early December. Then in the second half of the season, Andrew Sewell, who is music director of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, will be conducting the orchestra, as well as Ray Hatoda, who's assistant conductor of the Dallas Symphony and who grew up in Chicago and lives in Morton, Illinois.
Oh, well, so there's at least one Illinoisan in the mix there.
That's right, and as well as Donato studied at the University of Illinois.
Yeah,
so
that's
we
right.
have some nice Illinois connections in our candidates also.
Well, I certainly wish you luck on that search. It sounds exciting for everybody, and in a way for the audience to participate in this process.
Yes, we'll be looking for, you know, the audience to participate and give their input on who they feel, you know, would be the right candidate for this orchestra.
How will you go about that?
We will have surveys, either online surveys that they can give their input, or else also surveys inserted in the programs the evenings of the performance that they can go and give their input, so we can then, you know, get really a broad amount of feedback in order to make that important decision by the end of the 2011-2012 season.
Yeah, that sounds like a great process. You know, we talked about, I should remind listeners that we're talking with Trevor Orthman, executive director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, and they're giving a baseball-themed concert twice this coming weekend. We mentioned the Monday performance. We didn't give a specific time, but it'll be Monday night at 7:30 at the Corn Crib Stadium, and that the ball team there sort of providing the impetus for this particular theme. But how about Sunday's concert in Springfield?
Sunday's concert in Springfield at the Old State Capitol is going to have many events associated with it. The Old State Capitol is going to have from 2 to 5 history, education, and craft activities in the Old State Capitol building for children and to get them excited about history in the Old State Capitol. Then from 4 to a little before 6 p.m., there's going to be a demonstration by the Springfield Long Nine Vintage Baseball Team on the lawn of the state capitol, and then at 6 o'clock we will sort of finish the triple header, and we'll have our performance of this baseball and Americana themed concert to celebrate the Labor Day weekend.
There are some food options for the Bloomington or the Normal concert, and also for the Springfield concert. You want to talk about those a little bit, because one of them requires some reservations, I think.
Actually, for the Bloomington concert, the reservations have ended. So what will be offered is the usual ballpark fare. Their vendors will be open, and so you can probably get hot dogs, hamburgers, Cracker Jacks, and all of those wonderful things that you would want to get at a ballpark, but not necessarily a symphony orchestra concert.
Including the cold beer?
I think so, yes.
And then in Springfield?
There will be vendors available selling hot dogs and popcorn and peanuts and ice cream. And then there will also be cookies available. And so a lot of great food there to go along with the baseball theme.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun for definitely the whole family for either performance. And if somebody really wants to experience the whole thing twice, I'm sure you could go to Bloomington or Springfield Sunday and then come back to Springfield on Monday. I've got them reversed, haven't I? Springfield Sunday, normal on Monday.
That's right, yeah. So if you like it the one time, you can go the second time, and both times you'll see a winning game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks, Trevor, for joining us, and hope you have great performances and great crowds.
Sure, great. Thanks so much, Kevin, and we will most likely have some of those guest conductors that we talked about on your program in the season.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'll look forward to talking to everyone, I hope.
Great.
It's the Illinois Symphony Orchestra this weekend at the Corn Crib Stadium in Normal, Monday at 7:30, and then on Sunday, reversing that, Old Capes on the grounds of the old state capitol in Springfield, 6 o'clock on Sunday. For more information, you can call the Symphony office, area, 800, toll-free, 401-7222, or visit their website, which is ilsymphony.org. It's live and local on FM 90.9. That was a bit of a misleading tease, I will have to tell you. It was Casey at the bat, as you probably recognized if you were listening from the outset or even got in part way through. It is not, however, the version of Casey and the Bat that the Illinois Symphony Orchestra will be performing. I didn't even want to give that one away. They're going to do Frank Proto's setting, which is actually about twice as long as the one you just heard. This one is by composer Stephen Simon, who also conducted the London Philharmonic, and the narrator is named Yadu, and heard here on Live and Local in advance of those performances this weekend by the Illinois Symphony, with lots of other baseball and sort of pseudo-baseball music as well on that program. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'll be talking with folks at the University of Illinois School of Music who will be participating in the Allerton Music Barn Festival. It's the fifth annual such festival happening in Allerton Park in Monticello. It opens on Thursday, runs through Monday, and we'll be focusing especially on that opening concert. Support for our show today comes in part from the University of Illinois School of Music presenting the Allerton Music Barn Festival, September 1st through 5th at Allerton Park. For more information, visit www.allertonmusicbarn.com. That was not there intentionally that I know of to segue, but it might as well have been. I'll also mention that tonight at 7 o'clock on our evening concert, Vadim Rapin is the soloist in the Violin Concerto of Brahms with Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Myung-Won Chung conducts. Also on the program, Brahms' First Symphony and Ravel's Second Daphnis and Chloe Suite. Vadim Rapin with the Brahms' Concerto with the Chicago Symphony tonight at 7 on the evening concert right here on FM 90.9. always enthusiastic applause at the New Year's concerts in Vienna, Austria. That one from 1992, with Carlos Kleiber conducting the orchestra in Thunder and Lightning, a polka by Johann Strauss Jr. That is, in fact, going to be on the program Thursday night at the Allerton Music Barn Festival. The opening concert for this fifth annual festival runs Thursday through Monday with one concert per evening and a Sunday morning program as well. And we've got a couple of the folks featured on Thursday's program. Also have with us Carl Kramer, who is director of the School of Music at the University of Illinois, whose brainchild this whole festival was, and who ends up organizing everything with assistance from many, I'm sure. Thanks for coming on, and why don't you give us a little bit of an overview of what's going on this year?
Sure thing. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, this is our, as you had mentioned, it's our fifth annual festival. And like the Vienna Philharmonic welcomes the new year in Vienna with their traditional waltz concert of Strauss, we're doing the same thing and welcoming the academic year with our opening concert of Viennese waltzes, marches, quick steps, polkas, and other bonbons in a special kind of orchestration that I think Professor Hawkins is going to talk about a little bit later. We also have some featured soloists in that performance. Dawn Harris, who will be singing soprano, and Deb Rickmeyer, who is sitting here next to me on soprano saxophone, and also Stefan Milenkovic will be performing on that concert.
On the soprano violin.
On the soprano violin, exactly. Friday night, we welcome jazz legend Arturo Sandoval, who will be performing with the jazz faculty for an evening of Latin jazz. And two of our faculty, Chip Stevens and Chip McNeil, both have extensive experience with Arturo. They were on the road with him for many years and also recorded the Hot House album, which won the Grammy Award. They're both on that album with Arturo. So I think we're going to be hearing a couple of the charts from that album Friday night. Saturday evening, the Pacifica Quartet joins us, and they'll be performing the Prokofiev Second Quartet and also collaborating with Ian Hobson, doing the Brahms Piano Quintet, and also collaborating with John Dee on the Mozart Oboe Quartet. Sunday morning is the traditional Bach Cantata concert, Cantata 198, and also we've commissioned another piece this year by another faculty composer, Eric Lund, and he wrote a piece called Credo, which will be a companion piece using the same Bach orchestra and choir for his piece. And this concert we're dedicating to the memory of the people who were lost on 9/11, as it's, of course, it's the 10th anniversary.
It'll be a week out on that.
Week out on that, right. Sunday night, Stefan Milenkovic and Rohan Da Silva will be performing a violin piano recital. Stefan, of course, is on the faculty, and Rohan, who plays with Stefan quite a bit, and Rohan is also the accompanist of Itzhak Perlman. He's played a couple concerts here in Krannert Center, the two of them. That'll have some traditional violin piano sonata repertoire, plus some showcase pieces that Stefan will be performing. Monday night, we close down the festival with the program called Evening Serenade, which is similar to last year, except this year we're performing the second Strauss Sonatina, which he wrote in 1943, and also the Dvorak Serenade with the Allerton Winds, conducted by Rob Rumbelow.
Sounds like a great season, and some continuity going on there from season to season as well.
Yeah, we're trying to establish some favorites.
Well, Strauss is always favorites amongst many, and that's, of course, the opening on Thursday night. Starts at 8 o'clock. Oh, I should add that representatives of all the rest of those concerts will be on this show on Thursday and Friday. We'll have sort of a half of each program devoted to one of those concerts, so you'll get to hear lots more about in some musical previews as well. On the Thursday program, there, as you mentioned, there's some special arrangements of some of these pieces. There's not room at the Allerton Festival to have a Philharmonic Orchestra on the stage, so there needs to be some work. There's some work that needs to be done to make sure that the smaller ensemble can can play some of these great pieces. And Rudolf Hocken is a viola professor at the University of Illinois. He also happens to be a composer since he was but a wee lad. And you've done some of the arranging, Rudolf, I understand, of some of the pieces on the concert. Which ones, and what was involved in the task?
The pieces I orchestrated were a piece I wrote called Für Fritz, which is for where Stefan will be the soloist, a violin and orchestra, and then the Chardas by Monti for saxophone, violin, and orchestra, and then two Strauss polkas and the Radetzky March by Strauss Sr., and an aria from a Victor Herbert operetta called Art is Calling for Me, and Don Harris will be the soloist.
And one of those polkas we heard at the outset,
yes.
The Thunder and Lightning.
Exactly.
So what instrumentation is involved here? How much smaller than a full symphony orchestra? And does it use normal symphonic instruments or other things as well?
Well, the main difference is that it uses three saxophones, which actually composers at that point were using in orchestras, but the Strausses never wrote for saxophones. They were mostly in French.
So you're remedying that gross oversight on
exactly,
their part.
Exactly, with having three saxophones. And I think it'll be as loud as a regular orchestra. It'll just be fewer people making the noise.
What was that, your goal?
Yeah.
Is that why the saxes are there, to make things louder?
Oh, no. Carl chose those. So.
Oh, I see.
Well, actually, I didn't choose them, Rudolf. But the orchestration that we'll be using Thursday night is actually a traditional orchestration. It's called a salon orchestra.
A salon orchestra, yeah.
And there's thousands of pieces actually arranged for that particular orchestration. It's very popular in Vienna because it's smaller than a normal symphony orchestra.
In fact, I think we've got the recording I picked here has quite a number for this for a salon orchestra that we'll be hearing a little later in this segment of the show. Wanted to hear, before we talk with Deb Richtmeier about the notion of saxes in Strauss and so on, let's hear one of the pieces, the piece that you wrote, composed, mm-hmm. not just arranged, and you divulged to us as we were listening to Casey at the Bat that you wrote this when you really were a fairly wee lad.
I was 14.
Yeah. Who is Fritz?
Fritz Kreisler.
Oh, it is actually. Fritz Kreisler.
Yeah. I was a huge fan of his recording. I had every recording he ever made and listened to them obsessively, and I think you'll be able to hear that in this piece.
Well, let's give it a listen. And this is a recent performance with Stefan Milinkovic.
Yes.
And some
I'm
pianist.
Playing the piano.
Oh, you're the pianist.
Yes,
oh, okay.
I'm the pianist.
Right. It's Rudolf Hocken's Für Fritz with Stefan Milinkovic, who will be featured in this piece with Salon Orchestra, including saxophones, at the Allerton Music Barn Festival on opening night on Thursday in Monticello. This is Live and Local.
Thank you.
Performance of music by Rudolf Hocken, who was also the pianist in that performance with violinist Stefan Milenkovic. The piece is called Für Fritz, and Fritz referring to the great violinist and composer Fritz Kreisler. And Rudolf Hocken is with us here on Live and Local, along with Deborah Richtmeier and Carl Kramer, to help give us the introduction to this year's Allerton Music Barn Festival at Allerton Park in Monticello, which opens on Thursday, continues through Monday, with a different concert each night and two concerts on Sunday, including the one Sunday morning. And Rudolf has arranged that piece for a larger ensemble that will be played by, as it's being billed here, I think the Allerton Salon Orchestra or something like that, that will include, in at least Rudolf's arrangements, some saxophones. Deborah Richtmeier is the saxophone professor at the University of Illinois, and I know in many university settings, the saxophone professor will be a jazz professor, and we do have that in Chip McNeil, but you've been here for a long time, and you teach the classical sax, and yet saxophone is severely neglected as an orchestral classical instrument. Is this payback here in this case for, you know, Rudolf's arrangements?
I hate to say we're severely neglected. I think it has a lot to do
compared
with
to the violins. I'd say you're severely neglected.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the saxophone wasn't invented until around 1840. So a large part of the repertoire was written before we were even around. And then just over the years, a lot of composers have written for it. There's around 6,000-7,000 pieces that actually include saxophone in the full orchestra.
Really?
But there's probably 24 that are played on a regular basis.
Well, those are the ones, and I don't even know that many, I don't think.
Yeah, I had the fortune to play with the Dallas Symphony for 10 years as their regular saxophonist, and I was able to play over 100 concerts with them during that time period. And it was great. You get the best seat in the house sitting in the orchestra. It was
wonderful. What are some of the better-known pieces?
Well, you all know Bolero.
Yeah.
And the L'Arlésienne suites and Pictures at an Exhibition. And those are probably the ones that are done the most frequently.
I guess I'm not sure I remember that L'Arlésienne had saxophones.
Both of them do. They have saxophone solos.
I've even conducted those, so now I'm sort of reviewing. Where's the saxophone?
But this will be a new experience for me playing in the Salon Orchestra. I have not played in that orchestration before, and it's going to be a treat because I'm going to get to play with two other saxophonists who are actually former students of mine, but now we have, Michael Holmes, who is our new enrollment manager director at the School of Music, and Joyce Griggs, who is now associate director in the School of Music. So we are going to have a great time.
Well, you know, I saw about Michael's recent appointment, and I thought, I know this, the name of this guy. And now, what is it, Carl, I should ask you with this, what is it with putting sax players in into the administrative ranks at the school?
Well, they just seem to both be extremely talented, and it just kind of happened that way. So,
just curious. So now about this piece that, in addition to playing in the orchestra, Deb, you're also going to be playing with Stefan, who we just heard, in Rudolph's arrangement of a piece that usually features the violin. Well, features the violin, but is in many, many other arrangements, which is this piece by Vittorio Monti called A Chardash.
Yes, this will be my first time getting to play this piece, and I'm really looking forward to doing it as a duet with Stefan. Should be a lot of fun. And I'll be playing soprano saxophone on this piece, whereas in all the other pieces, I'll be playing alto saxophone.
So the piece that I think people probably hear most often is an orchestral version of this, I think. But there are so many, I think I'm a little also confused on that point.
Yeah,
what did you use as your starting point for coming up with the
Well, I took the original just violin and piano version, but it's played a lot by gypsy orchestras in Eastern Europe.
Is that what you had in your ear?
I heard it a lot in Europe, and I just took YouTube videos and watched them. I also modified a few things, put a little bit of jazz into it.
Why does that not surprise me?
Just because I can, so it'll sound a little different.
So what happens? The sax and the violin trade off on the main solo, or
mostly.
You invent some things for them to do in tandem?
Mostly we're trading off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they play things in canon, and I hope it doesn't sound chaotic.
It's a Rudolph Hocken piece. How else could it sound? At least every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, this is speaking of arrangements of the piece, this is one for a very small salon ensemble. This group calls itself the Tea Time Ensemble, and we'll hear at least a little bit of the Chardash of Monti, just in case by talking about it, it's not ringing a bell what piece that we're actually talking about.
It is one of those aha pieces. You might not know the title, but as soon as you hear it,
it'll take a little while, actually. There will be an aha moment at some point, but at first it'll be like, not sure. Here we go. So I'm guessing that many of you will now have recognized this piece, the Chardash of Monti, played here by the Tea Time Ensemble, but it'll be featuring a violinist and a sax player, Stefan Milinkovic and Deborah Richtmeier, along with the Salon Orchestra at the Allerton Music Barn on Thursday night's opening concert, which also features a lot of Strauss waltzes and other Viennese bonbons, including, of course, that one. And Rudolph, were you going to maybe give an idea of what the rest of this orchestra sounds like so people don't think that, or is composed of, so that people don't think, well, it's just violin, saxophone. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
just sax and violins. We have flute, oboe, clarinet, three saxophones, two trumpets, trombone, two percussionists, guitarist, and strings.
And most of the players, or nearly all the players, are either on faculty at the U of I or students of some kind, I'm guessing?
All faculty except for two students.
Who are in what instruments?
Trombone, and the second violinist is one of Stefan's doctoral students.
Okay, so it should be a very high-level performance, as they always are at the Allerton Festival. There's some really, really wonderful performances of some great music that happen every year. It's the fifth time around. And
also some great food and undoubtedly great weather.
Yeah.
At least that's what the Weather Channel tells me.
I'm looking to see. Let's see. Thursday, mostly sunny and hot, but by the evening shouldn't be too bad. And Saturday and Sunday, a little chance. We'll
and
see.
Just so your audience knows, Kevin, this year the concerts start at 8 o'clock instead of 8:30. For the first 4 years, we had been doing 8:30 concerts, but this year we'll start at 8 o'clock. So that's
people
a change.
Get out there a little bit or get home a little sooner.
Yeah, and there is a great bistro cafe, or you can bring your own picnic and sit out on the grass and enjoy.
And you can get all the information you need at allertonmusicbarn.com, including how to obtain tickets for the event and the whole rundown on all the rest of the programs. But we'll also be highlighting those on our program here on Live and Local Thursday and Friday. Thanks to Carl Kramer and Deborah Richtmeier and Rudolph Hocken for joining us on the show today. And best of luck with the opening.
Thank you.
Thanks Kevin.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. And need to mention here another special program that's going to be, we're involved in our community. In 2003, some peaceful women took on warlords and the regime of dictator Charles Taylor, winning peace for their country, which was Liberia. Our next community cinema screening, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, tells the story of these freedom fighters. The free public screening is at the Champaign Public Library next Tuesday, September 6th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned, and the discussion is translated by a sign language interpreter. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. And to give you a little idea of at least one version of a salon orchestra that Carl referred to earlier, this is music by Johann Strauss Jr. It comes from his operetta, Die Fledermaus, or The Bat. And this music will be on the Thursday night program. It's called here simply as Du und Du, which roughly translates as thee and thou.